Many storefronts facing the street have been dismantled in Beijing and Shanghai since the beginning of the year. Windows along the street have been sealed and then replaced by walls. So, of course, evidently, as a result, many stores have been forced to close as a result. I want to know what's going on here and the reasons behind it.
Sure, let me paint the whole picture here. In the past several dozen years, many shops were built along the streets with their windows and doors open to the street. These shops were quite convenient for citizens to buy some daily necessities, including food, beverage, grocery, and etc. Many of such shops are full of vitality and can be seen as good models of open blocks. However, in recent years, such shops in Beijing and Shanghai are being dismantled.
No.
The windows are sealed.
No.
The doors are closed.
Oh.
And the walls are built to cover the original windows and doors. And the streets have been turned back to 10 to 20 years ago, with only buildings but no shops facing the street. And not only those old and kind of shabby shops have been dismantled, shops built in recent years which looked like high-end stores have also been demolished. And that has been very inconvenient to local citizens, and they're saying, we love those old shops, but some others are saying it looks tidy, it looks better, and it looks more safe, so maybe we like it. That's why we're discussing it.
Yeah, so looking at this, actually, so I am one of these folks that lives in the hutongs.
You do?
I do, yes. And first of all, it's
magical.
It's like a fairy tale, much like New Honglin had read all about this, you know, telling us all about this initiative that's kind of been going on. But, you know, I gotta say, the hutongs have its charms, and the thing is, when something is charming, like, let's take a street like Wudaoying. Wudaoying is so beautiful,
yes.
Right? There's so many cool stores and cafes. People love that place. You can see people taking pictures there all the time for weddings, these kinds of things, all the time. And it's crazy because there's also a bunch of people going back and forth down the street, but at the same time, the other hutong streets often aren't maybe as glamorous, I would say, as Wudaoying is. And at the same time, maybe there's some health concerns in how, you know, certain, how unkept certain areas of these streets are. I know how that is sometimes. But basically, there's, as I understand, a lot of safety concerns going on in these kinds of areas. Basically, you have these small little streets through the hutongs, which are becoming more and more crowded with more and more people either wanting to see what the hutong life is like, wanting to go maybe to some of these xiaokao places at night, and people are sitting along the street. And you have cars, you know, driving through here, scooters, these kinds of things. So the congestion is huge. There's a lot of people going back and forth in these areas. And you gotta say, you know, this is nice. This is cool. But at the same time, in many areas, it's a little dirty. Maybe unkept. And at the same time, too, this could be a safety hazard. Imagine a little girl walking through the hutong with all this congestion. All it takes is one guy driving a scooter, not looking that direction, and she pops out of a corner. Boom. You know, and also let's take, for example, if something like this did happen, how could an ambulance get to the place in time when you have all this congestion and cars often, you know, going in opposite directions and people can't get past each other? It is a serious problem. So I get that a lot of people are a little maybe upset by the changes that are happening in areas like the hutongs and what's happening in Shanghai. But I think a lot of these changes are addressing real problems that maybe we don't necessarily see at first glance when we visit these very charming places.
Yeah, definitely. Charming is such a good word to describe hutongs or these alleyways in China, particularly in Beijing. I think you have different alleyways of different styles in different cities, as Shanghai and Beijing have very different kind of alleyways. Mm. In Beijing, I think a lot of the very traditional and grassroots or real flavor of the city is hidden in these little alleyways. And certainly, I did notice, Ryan, had shown us a display of his improving Chinese language skills.
Yes.
So, Shoukao, right?
Shoukao.
These barbecue places that are a scene in Beijing, especially during summertime. After work, you hook up with your buddies, go for a couple of chars, those barbecue things, and wash it down with ice cold beer and chat, and then maybe, you know, with the old, I didn't say that word, the elderly gentleman who probably owns the storefront and chats with you, asks about life and stuff, and then the grandma who's probably chatting with other grannies under the big oak tree during dusk time in Beijing, and then you sometimes see dogs with, where's the owner? You don't know, and just sort of runs by. And that is the kind of memory I have of old Beijing. But with this, with sealing the windows, closing the storefronts, I'm afraid that this kind of lifestyle is going to be all gone. Or we're seeing that you're sort of like clenching your fists, trying to hold on to it, but it's gradually just slipping away through your fingers. But why is the city doing this? Why are the top tier cities in Beijing being seen as the best examples of what Chinese cities are, like Beijing and Shanghai, both doing this? And this is part of a city campaign that looks to beautify the city. How does it work?
Well, okay, so hold on. You know, I don't... So the Hutong Hood, as I call it, because that's where, you know... That's where my roots are. And I find it charming. I love the lifestyle. I love, first of all, the community. Because I think when I first started living in the Hutongs, which was about 2 years ago, like you described, you know, it would be summer. You'd see all these people on the streets sitting in these kind of chairs, on tables, eating shoukao, you know, just having a good time. You could tell these people really love being outside, enjoying each other's company. But at the same time, you know, after all the revelry and people having fun and stuff, you'd see a street littered with maybe some, like, you know, the remains of what happened in the shoukao. Of course, maybe the street cleaners in the morning would clean that up. But still, you know, It was this cool sense of community, but at the same time, it was charming because of what it was, but it wasn't necessarily, you know, the clean, super clean, picturesque, modern, developed vibe that Beijing is going for. This is the capital. You know, China wants to show, I think, the world that it is a world power. It is developing and developed, and you know, these kind of things, it is a beautiful area, but the Hutongs can still be beautiful. You know, it just needs to be, I would say, taken better care of in certain circumstances. Like now, if you go to, what is it, Guiji?
Guiji.
You know, before it was, I still thought it was charming, everybody. You know, it's a street littered with hot pot restaurants. I always loved it. It was always so lively. But it's still those things, and it's just recently been renovated. And now the sidewalks are much bigger to accommodate these massive amounts of people that go from back and forth to make it to their favorite hot pot hangouts and these kinds of things. And that makes sense. There's new, you know, bathroom areas and stuff that are much more, you know, nicer and these kinds of things. It's portraying... It's the same street with these same hot pot restaurants. The change is just aesthetics. And I think that's something to keep in mind here, is that aesthetics are one of, I think, another big initiative that's going on here, is that China is developed. Things never stay the same. Things change, and China has to change. And I think what's important is, yes, we all want to stay in that time that we're comfortable, we've enjoyed and stuff, but we got to realize change is a part of life. And if you fight change, you're never going to win because it's just going to happen anyways.
I guess you see a tear in my eye right now, but inside, well, I am weeping when you talk about change and you talk about these things do happen. But is it just that the world changes and supposedly it's in the better way as what the government thinks and we're just supposed to roll with it? Is that it with this?
I don't think it's the case for me because I feel like, I mean, the government has a good reason because they're saying maybe the shoukao place you mentioned earlier is affecting the likelihood of the people living up there are places, because some of the buildings are like the first floor is the Xiaokao Chuan place you loved, but the upper floors are all residential buildings, and people living there had to put up with the noise and put up with the smoke and everything like that. That is why they don't like it. And some of the places are not safe enough, and the constructions are not up to standard. I understand all of those, but I don't think this should be a band-aid fast fix to like demolish every little store, because the Xiaokao place is only part of the story.
It's not necessarily demolishing. Something I want to reiterate here is it's because on my street, right, there are still stores that are still there that were there before. I think what's happening is if you have all the license, the registration to be doing business in Beijing, like you should no matter what, okay? They say, hey, guys, you know, it's time to clean shop. It's time to, we got to change. We want to look more modern. We want to look developed. This is the initiative that we want to show the world. We want to look, you know, and be proud and feel modern, just move in this direction, but not necessarily change. And I think these places had this option. You'll see in many of these places, yes, they maybe put up a wall or kind of, you know, cleaned up their place, these kinds of things, but they're still there. So I don't think it's necessarily just getting rid of certain places. I think a lot of these places that were gotten rid of, maybe they didn't have the right license the registration to be doing business in Beijing.
Oh, I hope that's the case. And I certainly want this move to happen like slower, but more right. And I wanted to say the modern society and developed technologies are always like it's physically shortening the distance among people, but mentally I feel like it's extended. And I wanted to say, how many of you still know your neighbors? How many of you still like have some dumplings and say, oh, we're short of vinegar, we're gonna go knock on the door of the neighbors and borrow some, and also invite them to come and have the dumplings?
You would WeChat them.
Exactly.
Like that.
you don't talk to your friends on the phone or pay a visit that often.
So it's not a problem.
You thumbs up on the WeChat moment post or leave some comments like you know their life, but you don't anymore. And for me, these streets might be safe and look better and clean, but it's not as warm anymore. And I think there's a very important word in Chinese called 烟火气. It can directly translate it to the smoke and fire from where you're cooking, when you're cooking, but it describes the exuberant downtown area where people are living there, and you can meet all of them. And I feel like I wanted to be able to go to the vendor shop along the street and talk to them about my daily life. I wanted to visit the milk tea place where I'm a frequent visitor and I can have my regular, don't even have to order. And I want to go to the ice cream store to get my delivery, because my delivery guy put my delivery there because I'm not at home and I can chat with the owner there. All I'm saying here is that I feel like those lovely people they can be more than strangers. They can be friends in my life, and
It's not going to turn into a franchise street of just McDonald's and blah, blah, blah. No, it's not. It's saying, hey, clean up your act, okay? Because this is the direction we're going. We want to be taken seriously. We want everything to be this picturesque way. You know, this is the capital, okay? So, yeah, this means a lot, I think. And it's an initiative that's really trying to, I think, clean shop. Though it is a change is inevitable. I mean, it's just something that, yeah, go ahead.
I think, Ryan, you make a very good point. And have you been reading the government guidelines or development of Beijing maps as such? Because I think you understand the municipality's policy very well. But here, for me, I think what I caught from what Niu Honglin said earlier on, I think there is a level of convenience that these stores used to have. But now if the stores are gone, then I think convenience is going to be an issue. And also, it's good for the economy. When there are these little stores, then these are many jobs for people that can open their own business kind of thing. But now what's going on is some of these shops are being sealed and they've been replaced by walls. So no longer will there be a business there. And there are other ones that maybe there's renovation going on. Mm-hmm. But the most controversial thing happening right now is if these small shops are gone in swaths, as there are more than 6,000 of these small storefronts already closed in Beijing in the first quarter alone this year, then this is a big deal. We're talking about the livelihoods of these people. And also, I think this will have an effect on people's lives, not only in lifestyle, but also, what is the city about? Are we only about the big shorts, the super modern CCTV building in the in the Beijing CBD area? Is that what you see of Beijing? It is glamorous. You see a lot. Reflection bounce off glass made, is that glass made, iron made, steel made, but glass skyscrapers, and I can barely open my eyes. But is that what you want to see? Is that what you want to put on the postcard of your city? Or is it the yanhuoqi, like Neil Holian said earlier on, about that there is the human touch? I think for me, maybe I'm too naive about this, a city is about the people who live there. It's not about the glamorous buildings. I don't care about the glamorous buildings. I care about the people. And it's the people, what they want, their aesthetics. That's what is attractive. That's what's unique of a city. And also, I think, Ryan, you make a very good point about trying to beautify the city. And this is an effort that I feel a lot of cities are trying to do inside China and out. But whose conception of beauty are we talking about?
Do people know what they want all the time? Is that always the case? Are people the best judge of what they want? They were like, okay, yeah, I want the hutongs to stay the same, but I also want you to be able to get an ambulance to me when my father has a heart attack within 0.x seconds within the hutongs, because people live there. Oh, then suddenly you have a conflict of interest, because when that ambulance is cruising through, he's got to get through all these guys sitting and having shaokao. Suddenly, you know, when your grandfather could have been saved, he's dead, because it's not sustainable in the modern age. You have to make things feasible. You have to make it so a firefighter can get to a certain place in the hutong before what you had in the hutongs is all gone, period. And you know, there's structural integrity in these places. Sometime modern architecture can say, oh, there might be a sinkhole developing in these hutongs, or the construction of certain buildings, we actually see problems and maybe it's time to update. Yeah, on the surface level, we all miss and want the same thing, but improvements are improvements. Upgrades are upgrades. And when you upgrade something, I think you often want it to maybe look a little more modern. You don't go to an interview dressed as a hipster. You go to an interview dressed in a suit. Beijing is the capital. It's hosting so many delegations and all this stuff. It is wearing its suit. I think it makes sense. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's very powerful, and you're very convincing, but there is definitely a time and place for things. If you go to a job interview, yes, you need to dress up like that, because yeah, the aesthetics is unified. Nobody goes in with holes in ripped jeans, and that's not the way you dress yourself. But what does a city look like? Who's in charge of the beautification of it? I mean, how do you even define the modern look? So here I'm seeing that it's probably, yeah.
I think, you know, you're really coming down on the fact it's charming. But charming isn't always practical, Hyung. And there is not a whole lot of practicality in, like, how, you know, it's beautiful, the hutong community, the life, these kinds of things. But at the same time, take a street that is so narrow, And you can just find all the problems. And then maybe some of these buildings that maybe wouldn't meet fire codes and these kind of things, all it would take is maybe a cigarette butt and tons of people could be out of their homes.
Yes, I totally understand and agree with you there. But we're saying, because the principle says that these shops, if they meet certain kind of standards, they will be saved. But we're seeing here is the walls where there used to be the windows and doors. So we're a little bit worried. And to release that worry, we wanted to say maybe in the future you can just one just demolish those with fire hazard or bring danger to the safety of the building, or you should demolish those without a business license. And for those shops which are not the Shaokao place, which are not occupying the space of a street, maybe we can save them, and we want them to be saved. And that has nothing to do with safety issue anymore.
Right, I get it. What I'm saying is, you take some place like, let's say, Nanlo Gusheng, and they have to actually limit the amount of people that go through there, because if something happens, you could have a stampede, lots of people get hurt. Of course, people want certain things, but their safety should come first at the same time, too. I think the Hutong life is very charming, but in many ways, it's a safety concern in so many ways. I also think that Beijing is a community. It is a city. It is one city. And so I think not all the city needs to move in the same direction. I think that's the case. And I think that's what the city wants. And we can sit here and argue, you know, oh, but we like the way things were before. But things will always progress and move forward. We got to try to find a way to cope with that. And I don't think this necessarily means that these businesses are being ousted. I think under certain circumstances they are. But it just means they're changing, and things will change, and we will find a way to make a community in this new, renovated place. And a change is scary. We don't know what's next. It's the unforeseen. But guys, I don't think it's going to be that bad.
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying, Ryan, and you make very powerful speeches, but I still hold my ground to say I have a different opinion.
In your vast Hutong experience?
Well, certainly not that much, but I have seen what this is about, yeah. And I understand that some people want to hold on to something from the past,
sure.
But this is not just about holding on to the past. It's about progressing in the best way for everyone, if that is possible. And if the government is simply saying, this is gone. No business for you. And you're going to be, this little window is going to be sealed and no business would look as if it existed anymore. Then what is this about? Isn't this lazy governance?
Maybe on a narrow street, you don't want a bunch of people loitering. So that window creates people going from A to B more faster.
Then allow a renovation or a more smart way of opening that shop. And safe and clean, that's what
Agreed.
We want.
Agreed.
Okay, we found some sort of compromise. That is so hard, but that's what Roundtable is about. You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang, Ryan Price, and Yo Honglin.